We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspire podcast with your host, Gene Alert.
Welcome back to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire. I am your host, Gene Alert, and today we have a special guest, right? Her name is Florence. Yes. Dr. Flo. I'm going to call you Dr. Flo, right?
Please do.
So, but it's Dr. Florence St. Jean,
yes.
Right? So let me pronounce your full name, right? So thank you for coming in. You are a educator. Mm-hmm. You are a counselor. You are a PhD. You are amazing. You know what I'm saying? And today we're going to talk about your amazing journey through Faith Grind Inspire, how, you know, you grew up in Brooklyn. You grew up in the church. You're still in the church,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And she said, yes, I am. And so let's, you know, we're going to talk about this whole thing. It's going to be cool today. But first, I want to say something, right, to our grinders. I want to say thank you, because without you guys, the platform wouldn't have grown this much. We just got our numbers, and the numbers are looking amazing. So thank you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for always sharing the podcast. I'm so happy that I was able to, you know, this vision that God gave me of having this show, letting people share their stories and their journeys and their mindset, you know, is helping other people, because I'm getting DMs, I'm getting messages on Facebook, Instagram, emails, text messages saying that, you know, it's really, the show's really helping. Okay. So today is really cool because you're a counselor and you're an educator, right? So I wanted to have you on the show particular. That's why I was rushing. I was like, yo, you have to come on this episode, like, you know, because the mindset, right? You study people, you know, and it's all about mindset. It's all for your, in your business, you know, your mental health, right? Mm-hmm. So as entrepreneurs, I want the entrepreneurs to, and the grinders out there to, you know, get some advice from you, get some tips, you know, to help them get through the day, right? And get through, some rough times, you know what I'm saying? Because entrepreneurship is not easy, right? There's some days that you're up and some days you're way down. And the interesting thing, even about myself, right? There's days where, like, I have super wins. Like, I have amazing wins. And then, like, Michael's in the studio, right? I had an amazing day, great wins. And then he sees me and I'm like, I feel anxiety. Like, I feel stressed. Like, I don't feel like I'm winning. He's looking at me like, yo, dude, you're crazy. You know, because you just won this. You just closed this deal. You just did that. Like, why are you, what kind of anxiety do you have? You know? So, right, bro? So he's like, you know, so, but it happens to all of us, you know? So, you know, today, you know, I know I'm rambling, but the last 3 minutes, but it's just, I'm just super excited for this episode. And mm-hmm. Today, ladies and gentlemen, clap it up for Dr. Flo, right? So, Dr. Flo, thank you again for coming on, and tell, you know, everyone's like, okay, let me hear this Dr. Flo. So tell the world who you are.
So, yes, I am in counseling. Mm-hmm. I run a psychiatric clinic. I actually oversee an organization called Global Trauma Research, and we provide psychiatric and counseling services in Brooklyn. And as well, we also do some international work where we're focusing on research and training and just really building people of color when mm-hmm. it comes to mental health. It's like, we all know it's a conversation that if it wasn't for, you know, some people out there, like, for example, Jay-Z, we wouldn't even have the conversation. And so it's still a struggle. So it's really putting a limelight on mental health in the literature and in our community, and understanding that people of color, we are marginalized when it comes to mental health, and we don't understand the power that we have in terms of healing. And so it's a real big passion of mine. This is what I do all day long. And I am an entrepreneur. I did start this business from scratch. Some days I scratch my head saying, why did I do this? But but it's all, it, in the end, it is definitely worth it. I know in the earlier you talked about faith. That's also really important to me. I incorporate my faith and my trust in God in not only my personal life, but of course my professional life as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, okay, Dr. Flo.
Yeah.
So before it was Dr. Flo,
uh-huh.
it was just Florence Jean from Brooklyn, right? Florence St. Jean.
Yeah, Keisha, right? Actually.
Keisha? It was Keisha?
It was Keisha, too, because Florence Keisha St. Jean. A lot of people from high school, if I tell them uh-huh. that my name is Florence, they're going to say imposter.
Imposter.
So my nickname is actually Keisha. So yeah,
that's
Keisha,
hilarious.
Keisha from Brooklyn.
Keisha
yeah.
from Brooklyn.
Middle high school.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Now I get it. All right, Keisha.
Yeah.
So okay, Keisha. Right. So now I'm like confused now. Right. So I've known you for years,
and you
like,
didn't. You never knew about
yeah,
the Keisha.
See, this is why I don't like prepping.
You right.
This is the conversation that I'm talking about. You know, because it's real, right?
It's real,
like,
yeah.
You just hit me with something that I wasn't prepared for. I
right,
wasn't
right.
So, tell me, mm-hmm. and who are you, Keisha, right? Like, we need to figure out, you know, because some people have these fraud names and alias names. I mean, I have one, too. You want to know mine? I'm going to put my business out there.
Go ahead.
There's about to be a bunch of people pulling up like, yo, I knew that was him. So in high school,
yeah.
So I grew up in Deer Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but my cousins lived in Nassau County. So my name in school in Deer Park in Suffolk was Gene, right?
Okay.
And I don't even know if I want to share this, man.
Do it, right?
Yeah, screw it, right? It's way too late. Yeah. You know? So, but in Nassau, there's mm-hmm. some people that knew me as Gene, and there's a ton of people that knew me as Armani. So
you know what? So, Armani. I feel like no. Seriously, I feel like that sounds familiar. So.
I'm telling you. Like,
so where did the Armani come from?
It was just they used to call me that because I used to wear a lot of
Armani?
Armani in Deer Park, but in school,
like, Armani Exchange.
Armani, no, not the Armani Exchange. The Armani, right? So Armani Exchange was I had like the sometimes I had the like Scullies. The Armani Exchange Scullies. Every winter, you had to get like four or five Scullies.
Because that was the reason why I said it, because that was my thing. Like, you know, when I didn't know better, I had big old AX, like,
oh, yeah,
all throughout my sweaters, my belt.
Oh, yeah. No, my cousins kept me fresh. Shout out to Richard. Shout out to Rudy, Reg, Jaquel. Like, Chris. Like, they kept me on point.
So shout out to my cousin, too, Natalie, who used to keep me fresh with the AX.
Well, yo, shout out to them. You know, so, my name was Armani, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I told a lot. I had business cards with it. I had a custom chain because, you know, I was making that mixtape money. So I used to have real custom jewelry, and I had this Snoopy piece, and he was wearing a diamond iced out sweater, and the sweater it said Armani on it.
I love it.
So, and then when a girl would like question me, like, why is your name? Why would your parents name you Haitian? Why would your parents name you Armani? And I was like, that was my grandfather's name. Like,
I can't.
I was playing whatever, I'm talking about, I had full blown out relationships, and my name was Armani. They
Armani
come
alert.
Home, introduce me to grandma. What's your name? My name is Armani alert. You know, my mom, people would call, but you know, here's how I got in trouble. When these women would call my house, right? I lived at home,
right.
You know? So when they called my house, they would be like, oh, is Armani there? My mom was like, there's no Armani here.
Kiesa.
And then click. Who's that? You know, and they would just beg the phone. And then, you know, they would beep me again. And I'll call them back. I'm like, yo, my mom just don't like.
She's wild. She don't like girls calling
like
the house.
Girls calling the house during the weekday. You know how she is. Oh, boy. Oh, man. All right. I'm going to get in mad trouble. There's going to be a lot of people like, oh, I knew that was him. But shout out to the Sacred Heart Girls. Ooh, boss.
Okay.
Sacred Heart and Trinity.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, see? Anyway, so back to you,
yes.
Right? Now I just snitched on myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. But you, Keisha,
yeah.
Right? So tell me about you in high school. Like, what made you, like, when did this counselor part of you, like, where did this come from?
Yeah, well, high school, actually, we were talking about this earlier. I was definitely a nerd. you know, cute nerd though, mm-hmm. but definitely a nerd. Mm-hmm. And going to school all the time, you know, I had strict Haitian parents, mm-hmm. Haitian, Caribbean, same thing. You know, you all they teach you is go to school, mm-hmm. go to church, and go home. Like, you don't know any other route except for those three routes. And for a long time, actually, my life did encompass that. But I did grow up in a very strict household, but thank God I did grow up with a family that really valued education, really valued support, very much a very supportive community. Mm-hmm. And I always saw a lot of challenges within our community, and I was like, yo, something gotta give. And specifically for me, even before high school, actually there was a lot of domestic violence in my household, and a lot of verbal abuse, physical abuse, and a lot of it stemmed from, you know, just things that my own parents, they just went through in, you know, in their childhood, and then they just carried that over. And so I'm just looking at all of this, and I'm like, listen, there has to be a better way. You know, there has to be a better way of us communicating. We have to be able to access support and access help. But unfortunately, we just didn't know how, or even didn't even know that it exists, or even understood the language of what exactly was happening. So everyone knows that they feel uncomfortable. They know something is wrong, but no one knows what it is, or how to talk about it, or put a language to it. And so a lot of my childhood did encompass that. And I can't say that around that time I found my calling and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go into this mental health stuff and I'm gonna save the world and be Superwoman. No, not at all. But I think it did spark a long-standing interest, and I think that it created a story in my mind, and I thought that I was going to go into education, actually. I thought I was going to be an elementary school teacher.
Really?
Yeah, and help all those little kids who, you know, were sad and just, like, dealing
with... Well, you started doing that. You are an educator.
You know, yeah. I am an educator, but I'm not in no public schools, no. though, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, yep.
But that's just definitely not for me, realized later on. But yeah, I thought that I was going to be a teacher. So if you ask anyone, I'm going to be a teacher. And every Caribbean person I know, why? Because you ain't going to make any money, you know? So especially Haitian parents, they're like, what fait l'argent?
Yeah, yeah.
Which translates, again, you're not going to make any money. But yeah, a lot of my childhood and high school days actually looked, you know, very similar to what I just said.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the seed was planted through your household.
Yeah, through pain. Yeah, through pain, ultimately, yeah.
So now, in college, like, when was that? How was that, you know? Because it must have been hard growing up in an environment like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then having to go in the world and having to win. Right?
Right.
Because, you know, think about the population that you serve now, right? A lot of these kids don't know how, and thank God for you and thank God for Global Trauma, because if it wasn't for professionals like you, they wouldn't be able to get out of that position. But you didn't have that outlet. Like you said, you didn't know how, you didn't even know it was a thing. Mm-hmm. So how did you come out of that and finish school? Get a PhD, like, you know what I'm saying? Because you have to be mentally strong. Like, what mindset got you to this place?
That's a good question. I think it's it encompasses a lot. Like I said earlier, even though there was a lot of problems, but mm-hmm. I must say at the same time, there were a lot of amazing things, you know? Like, one of the things is every Caribbean family also says, you going to school. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, you think you're going. And so however they have to support that in their own way, you know, they do. And so that actually for sure led me into higher education. When I got there, then started doing work in the education field, and I realized, actually, I really don't like this. You know, I don't like being in a classroom. I don't like touching chalk, it works for a lot of people, but for me, you know, just wasn't my thing. And then I found, actually, I was just meeting with students more one-on-one than anything else, and having conversations with them. And I said, you know what, maybe I should look into psychology, and I was like, yo, let's check this out. Uh-huh. You don't really have nothing to lose. You're yeah. undergrad, and so next semester I just changed my major. It was really as simple as that. And then I realized that, you know what, actually this thing might work out. So let's see where it goes.
Let's see where it goes. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you said that. You just went. That's the cool thing about college, right? You find yourself. Like, you went in one way, right? Yeah. All your friends knew you're going to be a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Elementary school teacher. This is it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go into college, your first, second year, you're like, I don't want to do this. Let me switch.
Right, right.
And that's the cool thing about college, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have to waste your parents' money. You don't have to get into debt for the wrong reason. And a lot of people, unfortunately, get stuck. And yeah. they don't realize that they could switch, or they don't want to because it's going to take time. They got to fill out papers, like that process.
Or the fact that we are so closed-minded and unfortunately just uneducated about the vast careers out there. So, you know, again, I hate to keep saying Caribbean household, but it's true, because all I knew was doctor, nurse, lawyer, engineer. You know what I mean? Like, and it was as if, like, no, there were no one else working out there other than these four any of these four industries. And so I remember when I first told you, my dad went to my graduation and uh-huh. everything, uh-huh. right? And then he was still telling people I was a teacher. Mind you, like, I'm like, I graduated in psychology. It wasn't until I got my doctorate, had like so many degrees after the fact, he finally started saying, yeah, yeah, my daughter's a doctor now. Prior to that, I was a teacher. Been teacher for about like 25 years now. Yeah. So, but yeah, this, you know, you're right. Like, there, you don't have to be stuck to one particular thing. You can expand your horizon. You can test the waters out there. You can ask information. You can just walk into a building and say, yo, I just want to volunteer here for 2 weeks. I want to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be open to that.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, you know, again, we're just not exposed, you know, to to a lot of other careers. And so we tend to be stuck to particular few careers, and then we end up hating it. And you're right. And then it's like a waste of money,
mm-hmm.
waste all these thousands of dollars in the education system.
And they get upset,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when you're following your purpose and you're, you know, a lot of times people find it later on in life.
Yeah.
You know, and God bless them, but at least they found it. Some people go to the grave without fulfilling their vision.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Did you intern anywhere? Because you said something about walking into a building and saying, hey, I want to volunteer. So while you're in college and you said, hey, this might work, did you then go and take action and say, let me go volunteer somewhere? Or,
well, you know, well, prior to doing the psychology, actually, yeah, I was volunteering.
Oh, cool.
I was volunteering. I went to matter of fact, PS-152. You know, PS-152, yeah, right there on Glenwood.
Yep.
Right by Our Lady of Refuge.
Yep.
So I went there and I asked, I said, can I volunteer here? I want to be a teacher. They're like, sure, come on and join us. And I did that.
Help.
Right, we need the we need the help. And so I did that for a while, and then I did a few junior high, and actually that's what kind of helped me, because I did some junior high schools in Staten Island, and when those kids started fighting, I was like, I don't know if this is for me, you know, just a lot of different things. But actually, yeah, I did get the experience outside of, you know, school, and then I realized I couldn't do it, so mm-hmm. I was able to get that prior to, you know, changing the major.
That's cool, because mm-hmm. You know, I tell people, because I know you're a nerd, right?
We were
texting
a nerd.
Each other.
Yeah.
We were texting, and I was like, you were like, yeah, you know, I'm a nerd. And I was like, yeah, I know. You're the girl I used to cheat on.
I am.
Get my answers from.
But yeah. Guess what though? I'm the girl. If you looked over my shoulder and you got my test score. Don't think you calling me getting my answers.
I wasn't that girl.
I wasn't that girl.
I would have tried to smooth talk myself.
No, I wasn't that girl.
You
know, now
let me tell you, I was super smooth. Like in English, I used to be like, oh, so Charlotte's Web. I was like, yeah, the pig. I forgot the names, but you know, like, yeah, the pig. Da da da. This and that. You know. And so what happened in that chapter?
And I'd be like, Armani, well, you should have read the book. Did you read last night? That would have been me.
But they used to just talk, and I used to find ways to play.
Pick up, right?
And then now on the essay, I would just wing it, and I would get like a 98.
Like, I know, but you know what? I would be the person after class, like, Armani, I know you didn't read the book.
You see how you call me Armani?
I know that's your name. I knew that was your name back then.
No,
so
my
I gotta
name
say.
In school was Gene.
Oh, your name in school was Gene.
Yeah, it was out of town.
It was Armani.
Out of town, girl. Yeah.
I thought in school they also called you
Armani. No. I would get in trouble. Like, I went to school, it was legal documents.
No. But actually, in school, they called me Keisha, but that wasn't my name.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I had everyone calling, even the teachers, I had them calling me Keisha.
Really?
I just thought Florence was just too old.
Yeah. Where'd you come up with Keisha?
No, actually, that is actually my nickname. Oh, like, as growing up as a kid.
Oh,
you know,
your parents.
Yeah, family members.
Some family members.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got the traditional Haitian gene. Jean. They called me Jean. Jean was the nice one. I like Jean.
Two of my brothers are called Jean.
Yeah, Jean.
Jean Bouillet. I have Jean Bouillet. Gino Jean. Yeah.
They always call me Jean. T-Jean. You know, it was cool. I like my name Gene. You know what's so funny? Like when I was growing up, my father used to always be like, "Your name is Gene, right? Don't let anybody call you anything else." So it was like, My mom used to say, "This in the your name is Jean, but they're gonna call you Gene."
Yeah.
So just go with it, right? So your name is Gene. So I was like, all right. So throughout my whole like school career, it was like Gene. Went to Long Island. What's your name? Gene, mm-hmm. Right? Me and my wife opened up Brooklyn Swirl, right?
Yeah.
And one day, this Italian lady or French lady, I don't even remember, but a Caucasian lady came into the store, and she was like, "Oh, what's your name?" And I was like, "Oh, my name is Gene." She flipped out. And I was like, the first time that really? Ever happened to me. Yo, I didn't know what to do. She was like, "Your name is Jean. Do not let anyone tell you your name is Jean, because
really?
Your name is not Jean. Your name is Jean, and you need to be proud of it. You need to own it." And
was
everybody
she a
in the
public
store,
school teacher? I don't know what she was, man. I bet you
like,
she was.
Yo, at that point, I was like, "Yo, my name is Jean."
She's and woke. You could tell. She was
woke. Yeah, I went home and told my parents, like, "Why'd you make me call myself Gene?"
And then, feeling all resentful and everything.
My wife was like, I told my wife the story. My wife was like, "So you want me to call you Jean now?" I was like, "Yo, I don't know, man. I'm confused." And so I get that all the time now. Like, some people, "No, your name is Jean." And then I'm like, "All right, whatever makes you feel comfortable."
Right, just call me that.
Just call me whatever you want to call me. Yeah, just I don't want to get I'm talking about. She backed me up in the corner, like, "Yo," and she was screaming at me.
Right,
you know, it was really weird.
Yeah,
but
it happens. Mm-hmm.
But Keisha, Florence.
Yeah.
Yo, see.
Hello.
Yeah, now it's Keisha. Keisha. Florence, Gene, Armani. Like, this is going to be a lot of confusion right here, right? So, but it's cool. I like that. So, I'm sorry. The topic is, mm-hmm. right? Mental health, right?
Yeah.
So, entrepreneurs, mindset.
Yeah.
So now you started. So, after you volunteered, you got your degree.
Mm-hmm.
What made you not just go work at a hospital or do something different, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, follow the other peers that whatever, you know, traditionally, when you get that doctorate, right?
Yeah.
What do they do typically?
Well, I mean,
they work for a clinic.
Sometimes, yeah, yes, definitely hospital. A lot of people who go get a PhD like I have, they mm-hmm. go into teaching. So they teach at the university level.
Okay.
And they focus a lot of their time on research and contributing to the literature. So, but, you know, it's not that I didn't work mm-hmm. in a clinic or a hospital prior to. I did.
Okay.
Before I got my doctorate, I did. And I think those experiences were all very much important prior to going into entrepreneurship. If I didn't have those experiences, I probably would have been lost lost in my, you know, career and my business right now. So I worked nonprofit, a lot of those. I definitely worked. I actually ended up going back and working in the school system.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, as a counselor, I did. Uh-huh. And I did the clinic work. I did the outpatient, I did substance abuse inpatient. I did all of those. And, nice. And they're just different, diverse experiences. I worked in places that were extremely unprofessional that I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is how you treat people, you know? And then I worked in places I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, uh-huh. you know? And both of those paths actually were super helpful to me. And so after I did get my doctorate, I did decide to go into entrepreneurship. But interestingly enough, even before doing that, I was looking for a job because I moved back to New York. I was living in Pittsburgh. I moved back to New York and I'm putting in applications. No one's calling me. And I said, wait, damn, like, I'm pretty freaking qualified. Like, why the hell no one's calling me? And interestingly enough, I was speaking to a really good friend of mine, my big brother, Jeff Lindor. And Shout out to Jeff.
The politician.
The politician, entrepreneur, yeah, group success, yeah. All that good stuff. So I'm on the phone with him and I said, Jeff, yo, I'm thinking, you know, if I were to start a business, this is what it would look like. This is what I would do. And he's like, yeah, 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 that's cool. That's cool. He's like, and I said, you know, but not right now, though. I'm thinking like that's like 10 years down the line. You know, right now I'm just applying for like some university stuff and some other things here and there. And he told me, you know, and I actually will always be grateful for this. He was like, if I know anyone that could do this, it would be you. Got off the phone with him. I'm not gonna lie, I felt a little motivated, but then afterwards I was like, oh, whatever. You know, it's Jeff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, he talks a good talk sometimes, so I wasn't too sure.
I'm not gonna let him gas me up.
Right. And then afterwards I get myself in trouble. But after that, you know, he actually like backed up his words. About 2 weeks later, he said, yo, I have an opportunity for you. I said, what is that? He said, so this business that you wanna create, I actually know a company who's way more established than you are, and you might consider partnering with them. And so he made the introduction, and then that was it.
That was it.
After I met with them, interestingly enough, I'm sitting there and I'm talking about, yeah, this is what a clinic would look like, this, that, and the third. And they're like, yeah, when do we start? When do we create this partnership? Mind you, I don't have a business.
Wow.
So I'm like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? I'm talking a good talk in the meeting, I don't actually have a business. So I literally had 30 days after that. 30 days to put everything in writing, to create a business plan, to incorporate, to do all of that. 30 days. And I went to Columbia, was doing free business classes. I went to a few of those, like literally 30 days, and I had it. So, you know, I would say it was a mixture of, you know, just being tired, of course, because everything else wasn't working out. A mixture of blessing. I don't want to say luck because I don't believe in luck,
yeah.
But definitely some blessings and support, of course. You know, having people, loved ones, people that believe in you, things of that sort.
Now, interesting, right? Because a lot of times people, how did you, I mean, you said like, damn, I'm qualified, right?
Right.
How did you feel, right? You have the degrees, you have the paper.
Yeah.
Right? You have the work experience.
Right.
You weren't a professional student.
Right? Seriously.
That's what I call them.
Yeah.
Because there's those out there that just go to school and they just
rack up degrees,
never work anywhere. And yes. Then 6 months later, after when Sally Mae calls you, and, you know, and they say, okay, you got to start paying. What do? They go right back to school, hide again for another 2 years.
Or go into forbearance for 6 months. Keep rolling it over. Yeah.
But
it's a real conversation.
That is a real conversation. I have tons of friends in that situation right now.
Yeah.
You know, but so those are the professional students, right? Like, how did you feel coming out, having everything, and like applying for jobs, and no one, like, people weren't calling you back, or even if they were calling you back, telling you, oh, you overqualified?
Right.
You know, like, how does that feel?
it's annoying as hell. You know, if I'm going to be frank,
it's
you start to wonder, like, okay, am I doing something wrong? Is it me? You know, did all of this information that I was provided, did it really not mean anything? Did I do all of this for no reason? You know, so funny, you were talking about just applying all over the place. I remember this was a test.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to apply to like a cleaning job at a hotel just to see if they're going to call me. You know what I mean? They didn't call me.
What?
I mind you, I didn't even put like I have a doctor or nothing like that. I said, I'm just going to test to see is something wrong with my freaking energy or something like that. So I went and started applying crazy places. Just saying, you know what, let's just test the waters to see if somebody's going to do something. Nothing. But, you know, in a weird way, though, you know, I felt like it was also the universe, like, just conspiring and working on my behalf to say that this is not your path,
though. This is not your path.
Yeah.
And even if you try to force that path, we're not going to let you, because when you plan, that's like when God laughs.
Yeah, right?
So you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden, God's like, oh, yeah, okay. But throughout your life, throughout that path, throughout your journey, there are parts that play a part in the bigger picture of what he wants to happen.
Absolutely. Right?
So that's why people, you know, I know people say it and it sounds really like cliche. It's like, you know, focus on the process. But it's true. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you focus on the process and just do the work and you don't look at, like, I don't think about the money. Like, I don't think about, like, even with this podcast, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not thinking about money. I'm not thinking about, oh, how am I going to get sponsors, endorsers?
Yeah, yeah.
I just really, really
do you. You want authentically to, you.
Yes. This is me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just told the world, like, my name was Armani. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously.
So, you know, so there's nothing, you know.
It's natural.
It's natural. Like, yeah. I want people to know who my mindset. I want to know the mindset of you and the other grinders out there, because especially now, there's a bunch of people right now that graduated from school, you know, and or entering into school now or whatever, going into their last year. And they think when they graduate in May, next May, 2019, or June or whatever, they're going to be guaranteed a job because
that's what you're taught. Yeah.
Guaranteed. But I graduated from Columbia, so you have to hire me. No, I don't. Because there's this kid that went to Baruch.
Yeah, I turned down a whole bunch of Columbia applications, actually.
Word, you know? You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you?
Yeah, me.
As an employer?
I guess an employer, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
Thank you, but no.
Ooh, so let's talk about this one.
Yeah.
All right. So, now, okay. All right. Because you were the person getting turned down. Now, I want to know, like, when you look at resumes, right? How do you, when you see Columbia, what do you, like, or whatever university, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have some friends that have graduated from Columbia, so I don't want to be like, oh, Columbia.
Right. Any school.
Any school.
Right.
Like, what do you look for in a candidate that you're hiring?
So, yeah, it's a good question because, you know, don't get me wrong. Going to a good accredited school is extremely important. Don't go to some like online program and then like expect to find a job. No, that's not what I'm saying here. And I'm not saying that in the school you go to doesn't matter. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying that it just takes so much more. You know, it takes a lot of time. It takes relationships. Mm-hmm. So I just hired a clinical supervisor and I hired her on the basis of a referral. And the person that gave me that referral, I was like, if this person is referring you, you gotta be good. You know what I mean? So I have like dozens of clinical supervisor resumes that came in and I'm like, no, I want her. I don't care what school she went to. I want her. But then there are other times when it's not a referral. But for me, I'm always looking for a right fit. Like, for example, you know, you and I, we have a cool relationship, right? Outside of, you know, the podcast. But, you know, sometimes you're looking for energy and you're looking for people that are going to feel, for me anyway, I'm always looking for staff members that are going to fit into the culture of my clinic and what we do. So, I can't necessarily just go by your credentials. And so I'll see the resume and I'll take a look and I say, okay, is this well written? Of course, that's important. Do you have exactly the qualifications that I'm looking for? Of course, that's important. But then at the same time, I get to meet you. Mm-hmm. And if we don't click and all you do
if
is just
super cold, you know, sometimes, that's what I try to teach, and talk to, the young people graduating, going into the workplace. Like, look, I know you went to the school, but do not depend solely on that. Like, you have to be able to warm up. You have to be able to let people know who you are.
There you go.
And that's what's really...
That's the key.
Because that's the key.
Guess what? I have interviews recently. Mm-hmm. I had an interview. I was looking for an outreach person. And the individual comes in and he tells... And he has all this background, like doing like international work and stuff like that. And then I said, so tell me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Oh, I want to do outreach. Really? So that turned me off because I'm like, so you have experience working at the UN. You've done this. And all you want to do is outreach 5 years from now. So you're lying. You know, you're not being authentic about who you really are. And then when he told me what he really wanted to do, so I said, let me give you a second chance. Tell me what you really want to do. And then when he told me that he wanted to like work in like women's rights and like international trafficking and things like that, I was like, that's impressive. Why didn't you tell the truth? Yeah. Because that's what people really want to see. They want to know who you are. Be authentic. Yeah, and you're right. The paperwork, the stuff that you have on paper doesn't mean anything to me if I can't like see who you authentically are. And so I definitely didn't hire him, if I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. But I did tell him, I said, listen, moving forward, anywhere you go, just be yourself, be authentically you, and then I bet you will get you further than you think.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah. When you're authentic and you're it's integrity. Like when you're truthful about mm-hmm. who you are and what you believe, it might not be the fit for everywhere,
yeah,
but it'll be the fit for someone. Like I tell people,
and it'll be the best fit.
It'll be the best fit.
Yeah,
like when you come to my office, you bring a resume to me. I don't even look at it. I don't. My wife is HR, so she has the HR background. And she's always like, "Oh my God, you didn't look at their resumes." And I was like,
"That's for you to do, right?"
Yeah, that's for you to do. But for me, I want to know when I'm here working and I'm grinding. Are you going to grind with me?
Right.
Do you have that work ethic?
Right.
Do you want to put in a million hours? Or are you going to... Do you have the commission mindset or do you have the working mindset?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know...
And vision.
Yeah. Like,
that's really important.
Like, I want you to bring something to the table. I don't want people around me that just wait for me to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know what to... If there's something around and you pretty much know what's going to happen, just... Take action.
Yo, do it. Yeah.
Don't wait for me.
Yeah.
Because I want doers. I want grinders around me. You know, that's why the show Grind, mm-hmm. you know, because I love, that's the thing about me. It's like, I love to grind. I love
everyone
to work.
Who knows you knows that.
Everybody
too.
Knows. Everybody's going to know if they don't know me. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, I want to work, you know, and I don't mind working, you know what I'm saying? And I love creating because that's the I love that journey. I love that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What advice, right? Because you work with, mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And, what advice on the entrepreneurs side, right?
Yeah.
Would you give to them, like this audience, about, you know, some tips to help them calm themselves down? Because, you know, you have highs, you have lows, you know what I'm saying? You have midpoints. And what tips would you give them?
So tips to...
Like, calm
to
themselves
who?
Down. Like, entrepreneurs.
To entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Or any entrepreneur.
Or any entrepreneur. Like,
okay.
You know, even for myself, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm married 9 years, mm-hmm. going on 10.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 2-year-old. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have a 2-year-old son.
Yeah.
I run a few businesses.
Right.
I teach in 6 schools.
Right.
Over 3,000 kids every school year. Right. I help people write books. I consult business mm-hmm. owners on a daily basis. Right. How do I turn off? Right. Some people are like, yo, I don't know. How do you turn off? How much time do you have? Thank God I balance myself with different ways. But but the thing that I suffer is not the balance part. I suffer from like anxiety. Like there's some days where I have so much that I know I need to do, and I just like, yo, I don't know what happens to my mind. Mm-hmm. I just like, I'm not doing anything.
Right, right, right. Like I can't.
I just freeze.
So it's from one extreme to the other.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there's some days where I'm like, boom, boom, everything's get hitting. It. Everything's hitting. All the pieces are hitting, right? Yeah. Then there's another day when I go in. I do go in, and then all of a sudden I'm just like, I'm lost.
Right.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I end up catching myself in like a 2-hour, 3-hour just slump, just like I'm. And then it goes like super depressed. Like I get depressed. I get like anxiety. I call my wife. I'm like, yo, babe, I'm so like, I'm failing. I'm a loser. Like she's like, yo, babe, you're not a loser. Like,
right.
I call my assistant. I start DMing people. People aren't calling me back. Like my support system.
Right.
I'm like, why are you not doing on the phone? Like, help.
I need you.
Right. I need you right now. Like, so, but people see.
Well, you know what? Okay, yeah. So that's good. Yeah. You know, if we could start there, you know, if you have a support system where people that you can reach out to and just be yourself and just say, yo, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not up there. Okay with seeing you're ugly, like that's really good to have. You know, for entrepreneurs, I actually am really passionate about professionals and their mental health, because I understand that people that look like us, first of all, and who are professionals, either don't have access, and not because they don't know, because it's a different conversation from when I was talking about earlier, when I was in high school and we just didn't know. It's not because professionals like yourself, myself, and a lot of people listening, we know. So we know the importance of mental health. We know the importance of mental health. We know what it looks like. We know the symptoms. We are really educated about mental health, but we have other barriers. So there are other variables that are issues. So one of them is we can't find people that we feel comfortable getting mental health services from. So the people that look like us, people that take insurance, people, places that are professional and look, you know, because then you'll go to the place where sometimes you go to a place where it's an organization and it's not run by a black owner, it's run by another owner, but black people work there, but then you're like, damn, I don't really like this place. So there's a lot of other barriers, but when I am speaking to folks that are professionals, I do ask, okay, how much time do you have? Because that is important. But if I was speaking to, let's say, someone specifically like you, Gene, right? Mm-hmm. My advice to you would be like, you honestly, if you can contribute 2 to 5 minutes a day, that's it. And I'm not even asking you to give me the whole 5 minutes throughout the day. If you can give me 1 minute in the morning, not me per se, give yourself rather, sorry. 1 minute in the morning, 2 minutes in the afternoon, 2 in the evening, then you actually would be pretty good. And then this is all I need you to do during those 5 minutes. Walk out. So in the morning when you wake up, right, just take 1 minute, just breathe in and out. That's it. 1 minute.
1 minute.
1 minute. Because I know you don't got that much time. One minute.
1 minute in the morning for me. I mean, I meditate in the morning, so it's okay. Keep going.
60 minutes, 60 seconds rather. 60 seconds. That's it. Mm-hmm. Breathe in through your mouth, in through your nose, out through your mouth. That's it. 60 seconds. The 2 minutes in the afternoon, I want you to walk outside of your office.
No phone.
Just 2 minutes. Walk outside. You can't be in front of your desk. You cannot, like you say, can't be. So not phone number one, not phone number two, not beeper.
Nothing, no iPad.
Nothing. Don't even have your headphones with you. Like literally just, and then you have to get away from the building. So if you could just give yourself 2 minutes to walk down that block, and this is the hardest part, and this is why it's only 2 minutes, you can't think about anything work related.
Wow.
But that's why it's only 2 minutes.
2 minutes, yeah.
120 seconds. 2 minutes.
120 seconds.
If you walk to the end of your block by ACA Branding, and then you walk back and you literally don't think about work for just 120 seconds, that's it. And then in the evening, right before you go to bed, you have a flesh. So those of you who are just listening audio, you have a fleshy part between your pointer and your thumb, this little fleshy part. between, again, your pointer finger and your thumb. Mm-hmm. You just squeeze that part real hard as you can for just 60 seconds. And that's it.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? I just tried it just now. And it's painful.
Yeah.
So you sort of like blank out. Like you don't think about anything.
that too. Okay. Nice way to think about it. I don't think you should be pressing it that hard.
Okay.
Like you're like in excruciating pain.
Yeah,
of your,
I'm fucking pain.
Unless
now.
You're not to the place where you're inflicting pain on yourself. Oh, but I mean, if that works for you, that's fine too. But this right here is a pressure point for anxiety, depression, stress, etc.
Oh, really?
Like this literally calms you down within seconds. So if you do this for 60 seconds, that's all you need.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. What about, okay. So this is, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Right? And it's funny because when I got into meditation in 2010.
Okay.
Right? Shout out to Russell Simmons, right?
Okay.
So Russell was actually one of my mentors, and Michael Skolnick. And when I was working on the Kevin Hart Show, and when I was working on my first book, those two guys were really influential for me about, you know, how to focus and balance, right? Meditation was one of the things that I got from Russell.
Okay.
And he was like, start with 5 minutes. I don't care. Where's your happy place? My happy place was my bathroom.
Okay.
So I literally sat in the bathroom and on top of the toilet seat, and I just sat there, lights off. And then my wife was like, what's wrong with you? Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, this was the happy place.
Right.
So,
right.
But I did that. But what threw me off, right? And I'm going to be really transparent, and I know this transparency is actually going to help a lot of people. When my wife and I had our baby, it threw me off because I'm not sleeping. My sleep pattern changes. I can't do I couldn't focus on meditation because it was either, did I prepare the bottles? Is he going to pee?
Yeah.
And do I have to change a diaper? What did I have to do for the baby? But then I'm sleep deprived, right? So I don't know. A lot of people talk about team no sleep. When you get to a certain age,
I can't do team no sleep anymore.
When I was in my 20s, early 20s,
team sleep and nap all day.
Yeah, I want to take naps. Like on Fridays, I take naps, right? But like team sleep. So, but when we first had the baby, like I was going crazy. Like I was not Gene.
Yeah.
I was not Gene. I was not this happy Gene. Like, I was like, don't talk to me. You know, and
grumpy.
It was just, so, and I lost weight because I wasn't eating right because I was still trying to grind.
So
I was still trying to grind and
Be a father.
And I wasn't, be a father, be a great husband, be great this. And I was trying everything, but I wasn't meditating. And because of the no meditation, which gave me my quiet time and gave me that structure. Like I write in my planner. I couldn't write in my planner. And because I couldn't write in my planner, or I didn't write in my planner, I should say, right? Every time I saw an empty page, gave me anxiety.
Okay.
Right? And that's my thing, right? So when I, it's like social media, like for the millennials, right? To make them understand what I'm talking about. So when you go on your page, you post a picture, right? If in the first 5 minutes you don't get the normal likes that you get, if you don't get, you know, if you get 100 likes in 5 minutes, you know, endorphins get released, right? And you get happy. And so you're like, yeah, I won. Now, if you post that another picture the next day and you get one like, what do? You delete the picture. Maybe you're like, oh, the time wasn't right. And you start like, was the content different, right? So, but that feeling that you get of like, oh, man. So when I see an empty page on in my planner, that means, or you know my week was crazy. Like, if you want to know the weeks where I feel like out of control and not Gene, or I'm not performing to my highest levels, ask me for my planner and go through it. And you could point, you could literally open the planner and say, oh, this week in June,
tough week, huh?
This was a tough week, right, Gene? Yeah. Yeah. And it's not that I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm still doing things. It's just that, you know, like, but when I look at it, anxiety. I get, you know, I get hit with that.
Well, that's why it's really important to give yourself less time then, because if the 5 minutes are too much, mm-hmm. go for two, go for one. It's, and the reality is I know it may seem like, oh my God, what can 1 or 2 minutes do for me? But if you have a 1 or 2 minutes of literally check out, like, because interestingly enough, even though I'm in this field, I have to constantly be conscious of mindfulness because I am another grinder,
yeah,
you know,
you are.
Nerdy grinder, but yeah, still but a grinder. I'm still grinding all the time. And so it has to constantly remind myself to shut off, because even though I'm not in the office, even though I'm not at work, even though I'm not on the phone or I don't have the tab, my mind is racing. Like it's as if I might as well have been there, because I'm already planning the next year, you know, in my brain.
Yeah.
And so I literally have to stop, stop, and shut down for like 2 minutes. When, if you do that just for 2 minutes, mm-hmm. it changes everything.
It changes everything. What saved me as far as like, you know, with the baby situation, right? Mm-hmm. So my advice to the fellas, right? Well, to the fellas or the mm-hmm. ladies, right? To the moms. I know moms are really more of a, you know, it's like, especially during that first few months, you know, they're the nurturers. That's, you know, the fathers don't really, to me, the fathers don't really, like in African cultures, right? The father doesn't really step in mm-hmm. until like the kid is like a teenager. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they're there, but they, like their part, the father right. part, right? So it's hard for a lot of fathers
yeah.
in the beginning, because it's like, what do I do? I can't breastfeed. All I'm doing is changing diapers and making right. bottles, like, and supporting the wife or the mother, right? So what I did to help me balance my mind, because I couldn't meditate, I started doing extra long walks with the dog at night.
I actually remember I was talking on the phone one time and you were walking the dog.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's the time. So, like, I'm talking about late. And I'm 1 o'clock in the morning, like, late.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as the baby goes to sleep, you know, and because the baby used to wake up every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Every hour. It was terrible. But as soon as he went to sleep, I told my wife, I'm taking the dog for a walk. And then she was like, all right, go ahead. Tired as I am, I know that when I go in my...
So you found your niche.
I found that calm. That was my walking meditation.
Okay.
So meditation changed for me and I adapted
right.
to... Oh, I don't have to just sit still.
Right.
You know, like my neighborhood, I live in Canarsie, part of Brooklyn, and walking the dog with everyone else sleeping, to me, it was like, it was my meditation. Tranquil. Because I knew, yeah. it was like, yeah, because I was mm-hmm. like, you know, walking in the middle of the block.
Yeah.
Nobody's driving. Nobody's walking. All the lights are off. It was like a dream.
Whatever works.
And it worked for me. So you got to find something that's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. Try different things, you know.
And the most important thing is that we need our entrepreneurs, especially entrepreneurs of color, still out there. So whatever it takes, you know, to get you, yeah. your mind right, to keep doing this, you know. Yeah.
And you know something else too? And maybe you could... You know more. You're the professional with this one, right? You have the moral authority with this, right? But I find, right, like even with this episode, this is probably gonna have a lot of views because I'm being really. I put a lot on the table on this mm-hmm. one. I'm thinking to myself, like, uh-oh,
mm-hmm.
what's my wife gonna think? Like, what's this person gonna think?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, right? Women, if they're going through things, they have tribes. Like, they have people that they could just call and just, like,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Guys don't do that, mm-hmm, right? Guys mm-hmm. are always trying to be like, yeah, you know, I got this. Like,
right.
yeah, let's do it. Like, you know, they suffer at home, but then when they come out, it's this faith. Me, I don't want to suffer at all. Like, so I go through things. I tell my wife straight up, this is, you know, and she tells me the same thing, and it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we're, you know, we are the tribe for ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
But, because I always tell people, and when I speak at different workshops, especially on relationships, I'm like, especially black men, right? men go out in the world and they're all you see on TV is like they're getting shot. Like even this guy's in his own apartment, right? Recently, a couple weeks ago, right? He's in his apartment. This woman accidentally thinks it's her apartment, and they were, I think, dating, and goes in the apartment, kills him, shoots him in his own apartment, right?
Okay.
A cop. Now, as a black man, right, you see things like that, it's like, damn, you're not safe at home, you're not safe driving your car,
right,
you're not
right.
safe walking, you're not safe at work, you're right. not safe on the train, mm-hmm. like... So where
it messes with your psyche.
It messes with your psyche.
Yeah.
So you go to the workplace, you're not getting the deals, you're not getting the contracts that you want. You're seeing your competitors. You're like, yo, I'm more qualified,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really qualified to do this work, and you're not giving me the opportunity. So it starts messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
So then going home, you know, that's why it's important to marry the right person or be with the right person, because you need the person to actually help you. Like, yo, no, babe, you in the right track.
Right.
And vice versa, because it's both for women of color, too. Same thing. They go in the workplace and same thing. They go out. And so at home has to be the recharge. That's right. my point.
Mm-hmm.
Home has to be the recharge. And if it's not the recharge, it's really going to take away from you. And to keep us growing and keep us building these empires, like, we need to understand that mental part of... We need to build at home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not destroy. Because society and the way media is making people attack each other, right, is they're trying to break up the homes. They're trying to make it look like marriage is not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to make it where, oh, you don't need to go to church no more. They're trying to make it where, you know, what else? Then the church is no good. Marriage is no good. It's okay to just have a baby by somebody and just raise them by yourself. It's hard.
Yeah.
Being a single parent. You know what I mean? Like co-parenting, they just making it norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And shout out to all the single parents out there. But like growing up to me, you know, I know it's not easy. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm married and with a kid and it's hard.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's both of us in the house. You know what I'm saying? So I can't imagine having a woman just raise a boy. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of things like my son, he takes advantage of my wife. If I wasn't there to step in, like, you know what I mean? Like, he would walk all over her, you know, mm-hmm. because she's like head over heels for him. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
So, so wow, I feel like I was in therapy today.
See,
this is
the magic.
This is the magic that you guys have. You see Dr. Flo? Right? Like, you know, but anyway. So, what other advice would you give, like, the listeners, the grinders out there on like, you talked about balance. You helped with the 5-minute
mm-hmm.
tip. What about massages? What about, like, a day just taking off a day?
Yeah, I think, again, it goes right back to what can you do?
What can you do?
Because there are some, again, there are some variables to that. Can you afford it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't want you doing a massage for $200 and then you had to not pay National Grid, you know, as a result. No, seriously.
Yeah,
very.
Yeah.
And entrepreneurs, let's be real. Sometimes yeah, yeah. The struggle is real.
The struggle is real, yeah.
So if you can financially feel comfortable doing a massage, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, do you have the time? Because that would mean that you have to travel to someplace in particular. You have to take about at least a good hour or two, you know, out to when you arrive, et cetera, then transfer back. So sometimes you can't really do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's so many other things, you know, you can, exercise is always a big one. Eating
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah, eating well.
Yeah, that's a big,
yeah.
It's crazy how that contributes to your mental health.
It Talk
does.
About
and,
it.
So many ways, you know.
So what type of food, what kind of energy food is really good for your brain?
Anything, dark greens are always good. Mm-hmm. Dark greens are always good. You know, the carbohydrates, of course, bring you down. But anything that's going to pop up your energy is also going to, like, stimulate your mind. So mm-hmm. you definitely want to do that. And then teas. Like, I'm a big advocate for teas. At, you know, in my clinic, we are constantly giving every patient that comes in a bag of tea.
What kind of tea?
Definitely anything that does not have caffeine. Decaf is the way to go, of course. But I recommend chamomile tea, right? I recommend any herbal tea.
Doesn't that make you sleepy?
I mean, it's... I don't want to say it's a myth. I don't want to say that. Okay. But I don't want to say that. It does, but you know what it is? It's calming. And so if you are in a, if it's nighttime and you are ready for bed and you have some chamomile tea, yes, it will put you to sleep. Yes, it will. But if you are on the train and, you know, you're standing up and you're in the middle of a conversation and you just want to calm down, you drink some chamomile tea, no, it is not going to put you to sleep. So, yeah. But I, chamomile is definitely on my... is top on the list.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
that's cool. What other things that you you feel would be some great advice for, like, an entrepreneur grinding it out, or somebody, a student, you know, that's getting into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I think that if you're thinking about entrepreneurship in any type of field, of course, mm-hmm. you want to be informed about where in the career that you're going into. A lot of, I think, our businesses as people of color that go down is because we're not making right decisions. Like, I just saw actually a restaurant right by my office that was open for like 3 months. And I'm like, what happened? I mean, but again, I think it was information. Like, they didn't realize that there are like 10 other Caribbean restaurants right on the same block. So mm-hmm. there's not necessarily a need for yours. The other thing, seriously, you know, other things that I think are really important is I think if I had to give one piece of advice that I think that every entrepreneur should know is, it doesn't matter when you start, make sure you pay yourself first. Mm. And I think that that's because if we're talking about mental health and we're talking about burnout, if you're not being somehow incentivized for all this work that you're paying and you're thinking, oh, I got to pay the next bill, I got to bring in a new person, I could do more. And then your finances are suffering as a result, it actually mm-hmm. will make you get out of the game way faster. So if
pace yourself. Pace yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Pace yourself and pay yourself first.
Pace yourself and pay yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Pace yourself and pay yourself.
It's true. Like mm-hmm. you have to remember, you are not running a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
You're running, say, a marathon. You know, a 10-year marathon, a 15-year marathon. Look at Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart started like what, 20-something years ago, you know, but 2011 he blew up.
Right.
And even when he blew up in 2011, that was the start of the bomb. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
now he's on every movie,
you know, and this is 8 years later.
Yeah.
So if you talk to Kevin Hart in 2009, you tell him, hey, you know, guess what? I saw the future you. You know what I mean? Like, you're on the right path. Or even think about it. When he asked his mom to let him borrow money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. Like, he had faith in himself. He had faith, you know, and to the entrepreneurs out there, you know, it's hard sometimes because we're looking at the instant gratification of now. We're seeing the people in every movie now. We're seeing people, like, you look at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you have a big organization. You partnered with a big organization. You manage a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You're hiring people, right? Now, some people might look at that and just, like, not think about everything else that you did.
Yeah. Right? What it took to get there. Yeah.
You worked at different places, professional, non-professional. You tried it all.
Right.
Right? But all of that comes together and builds that person mm-hmm. that you are today because you've seen it. You were exposed to it.
Right.
Right? So I want to tell you guys, like, this is why I bring people on, because... it's easy to just talk about your business now, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what most conversations, interviews are, right?
Right.
But when you talk about, I want to know how you got there.
The struggle.
I want to know.
the real struggle.
Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a time, or how did you deal with a time in your during this process where it was like it wasn't working out, and you were like, "Yo,
oh yeah,
I don't
know. This is a mistake.
This is a mistake."
Yeah.
Like, how did you turn that around? Like, what faith did you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened?
It's so interesting because there was specifically there was a year, a few months where I went back to before I even thought of starting the business. I started applying to jobs again. I was like, this is not working, and I honestly think that having conversations with people that believed in me again, mm-hmm. and really going back into prayer and saying, is this for me? Because I started questioning, because when I saw that I wasn't reaping the benefits or the fruits of my labor, mm-hmm. I said, you know what? This is I probably thought that this is what God wanted me to do, and this is not it. And I started voicing that. I wasn't silent about it. Mm-hmm. I started telling people, yeah, this, I don't think so. No. And people who know me well, like, actually, no, this is it. You know, we see what you're putting in. I know that it's not, you're not seeing it coming to fruition, but keep going. That was one thing. And then I went back into like deeply praying again and saying, God, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe this isn't my purpose. Maybe this isn't what you want me to do. Show me, you know, and believe it or not, after those two things, mm-hmm. I still was questioning it, and I still kept doing what I was doing. I was still in my mind not very trusting, mm-hmm. but because I put it out there to God and to my friends and family, things did start to turn around again, and I did start to see the rise. You know, it's like you said earlier, it's the rise and then fall, the rise and then fall. But
yeah. No, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. See, thank you for being so transparent. I love it. Like,
thank you, G.
No problem.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. So tell the people, how do they find you? How do they follow you? If there's a website, if they need some of your services, tell them how to find you.
Good question. So I'm gonna keep it real simple. You go to www.gtrinc.org. Again, that's www.gtrinc.org, and you'll find our Facebook links, Instagram links, how to inquire for services or education services, what have you. And you can also see how to reach Dr. Flo on there. My telephone number is there. And I'm really open to actually talking to professionals who are interested in mental health and just talking to professionals out there about, you know, just their journey. So please hit me up. Please give me a call. I'm open and willing.
That's what's up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to another great episode of another great and transparent episode of Faith Grind Inspire. Thank you, Dr. Flo, for coming on and sharing your testimony and your mindset. You guys could tune in every Wednesday. Once again, I said thank you again. I appreciate you guys for tuning in every Wednesday, sharing, putting posts, you know, even putting reviews, 5 stars, with 5 stars on iTunes. So thank you. And God bless. You can find us. Oh, shout out to our producers, Jamie, Tim, Brianna. You can find us on YouTube now. Check us out on YouTube. And thank you, Mike, for helping with the production, video production. Shout out to our team at ACA. And that's it. You know, faithgrindinspire.com. Follow us on Instagram, faithgrindinspire. God bless and keep grinding.